we're going to discuss tonight is nothing new. We've talked about it a number of times in the past, and it's an integral part of the Christian life. It's called stepping out. Now, stepping out is a phrase that's often used in context of faith and belief. It means to take a bold step forward in one's life, trusting in God's guidance and support. The Bible gives us several examples of people who stepped out by faith. Noah stepped out by faith in building the ark for the salvation of his family. Abraham left his home to follow God's call. The list of names in Hebrews chapter 11 include men and women. This list includes men and women who in some way stepped out by faith, had no idea where they were going, and in the case of a number of them, it cost them their lives. Stepping out by faith doesn't mean stepping out blindly into the unknown. It means stepping out by faith is done consciously and confidently, choosing to step out by faith because of the trust one has in the Lord. Taking such a step, however, is often accompanied by a certain amount of apprehension. When God called Moses to return to Egypt and lead God's people out of captivity, Moses was afraid. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to accept the task, and he dreamed up every excuse why he couldn't take care of execute it. In the parable of the minas, the third slave came to his master saying, "Here is your mina, which I kept and put away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take of what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow." Out of fear, the slave failed to invest the mina that he was given. Several years ago, some of us participated in the Bible class led by Keithy and Starling. When Keithy announced to us that one of the requirements of the class was to prepare and deliver a message, a gasp of something like escaping air from a tire came from the crowd. The first time I was asked to deliver a message, without even considering the privilege I was given, my initial response was, "I can't." There are no "I can'ts" in the spiritual life. When God gives a task, God provides everything needed to successfully complete the task. Paul alluded to this when he wrote, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Stepping out, however, does come with challenges. This is where preparation is in view. Here's where a little background is necessary. Moses led an evil generation through the wilderness for just under 40 years. But because Moses lost his cool momentarily, God would not allow him to enter the promised land. After Moses died, the task was given to Joshua. Joshua served as an aide to Moses for most of his life. Now he had been thrust into the limelight. Joshua's task was not only to lead the people across the Jordan and into Canaan, he was also assigned the task of conquering 31 kings. These kings ruled powerful nations that inhabited the land, nations more powerful than Israel. How do you prepare for such a task? Well, preparing for the task at hand, no matter what it might entail, will be the focal point of this series. Preparation is a highly essential principle, especially in the spiritual realm. Lately, we've spent some time discussing the subject, and rightly so, because no matter what the future holds, we are called to be prepared. And if the rapture doesn't take place in our lifetime, we have a generation of young people who will need to be prepared as well. Preparation solves the problem of stepping out. We're going to study this in three areas where preparation is essential. Tonight, we'll cover the first. The first is preparation involves opening our ears to God's word. Recall the principle that Jesus stated, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." The word for hear doesn't mean hear ineffectively. James tells us that an effectual hearer soon forgets what he heard. Now that leaves him unprepared. To hear means to listen with a purpose. Now, let's look at an example that involves Joshua. In Joshua 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Joshua 1, starting in verse 1. "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all, to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, we heard the story before. Moses had just died. Now, that alone had to impact Joshua in more than one way. Moses was the leader of the Exodus generation. God spoke directly to Moses. How is that going to play out in the case of Joshua? Was Joshua up to this challenge? Would God continue to speak to Joshua? How does it play out today? How are we being challenges? There are challenges ahead. The Bible makes this clear. Some of them might be overwhelming. Some might be the cause of fear. Fear can neutralize the effectiveness of unprepared Christians. It's a safe bet that Joshua might have experienced a sense of fear, but two facts stand out. First, Joshua heard the word of God. And second, well, God said in his word, I am giving you this land. It was a vast land from the wilderness of Lebanon to the river Euphrates as far as the Great Sea. God also said, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I will be with you and I will not fail you or forsake you. Joshua heard these words. God was speaking to Joshua just as God spoke to Moses. Please hold your place and go to Exodus chapter 1 or chapter 12. Exodus 12. So Joshua not only heard the words that God spoke, Joshua already knew something about God, something that he learned in the past. Joshua was a member of the Exodus generation. He was there during the Exodus. In Exodus 12, look at verse 2. Exodus 12, verse 2, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their fathers' households, a lamb for each household. Look at verse 12, please. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. See, Joshua saw each one of these plagues. He saw God's word come alive in these plagues. Look at verse 29. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and go and bless me also. See, Joshua saw these things. What did Joshua see? He saw God working on behalf of his people. Joshua saw the events that took place at the Red Sea. He saw Israel trapped between the sea in front and Pharaoh's army approaching from the rear. God prophesied this before it happened. In Exodus 14, look at verse 9. Exodus 14:9. Then the Egyptians chased after them with all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth in front of Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Joshua was there when Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." Joshua saw how God parted the Red Sea when Moses lifted up his staff so that the people could cross over on dry land. What was the next event Joshua saw? Look at verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. What did Joshua see? He saw the word of God come alive. What might he have concluded from what he saw? In Exodus 15, look at verse 2. "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will extol him. The Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name." Interestingly enough, these same principles apply today. The Lord is our strength and our deliverance. We benefit from that by making God's word a priority in our lives and listening purposely to what God says. Joshua listened. He saw the realization of what he heard. That prepared Joshua to face future challenges. As we said earlier, there are challenges ahead. Paul expressed it to Timothy when he said, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." This is not a new principle. We've seen it throughout the Bible. Jesus also said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Please go to Exodus 17. Challenges come in many forms. The people of the Exodus not only faced hunger and thirst, they also encountered battles with enemies. The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. The Amalekites launched an attack against Israel from behind. In Exodus 17, look at verse 8. "Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand.' Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands on one side and on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.' Moses built an altar and named it 'The Lord is my banner.' And he said, 'The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation.'" The defeat of the Amalekites was something that God wanted Joshua to remember. So God commanded Moses to write it down and recite it to Joshua. By the time we get to Numbers 13 and 14, what Joshua learned about God enabled him to stand firm on his faith. Now that principle applies today. God wants every Christian to remember that which has been written down. So God wrote it down for us so that we could know it and apply it. Knowing it is the prerequisite to standing firm in it. That characterizes the principle of preparation. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. The spiritual life is a lifetime of preparation. As Christians walk with God, God provides them with these little insights into God's character. That's called enlightenment. Enlightenment is the work of the Holy Spirit. Enlightenment gives us insight into God's character, into the Word of God, into the plan of God. It's these insights that deepen and enhance our knowledge of God and our relationship with God. But it's all part of the preparation for the task at hand. Please go to Exodus 24. This was the case with Joshua. The things that God showed Joshua gave Joshua confidence in God, and confidence in God enabled Joshua to be courageous in the task that he was to carry out. Look at what happened when God called Moses up to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments in Exodus 24, starting in verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses arose with Joshua his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. But to the elders he said, "Wait here for us until we return to you." Note that while Aaron and the elders were left behind, Joshua accompanied Moses up the mountain. Now we don't know how far he went, but where he stopped, he waited for 40 days and 40 nights. The principle that emerges here is preparation takes time. Using the time involves patience and persistence. Dwight Moody was once asked how he managed to remain so intimate in his relationship with Christ. He replied, "I have come to him as the best friend I have ever found, and I can trust him in that relationship. I have believed he is Savior. I have believed he is God. I have believed his atonement on the cross is mine. And I have come to him and submitted myself on my knees, surrendered everything to him, and got up and stood by his side as my friend. And there isn't any problem in my life. There isn't any uncertainty in my work. But I turn and speak to him as naturally as to someone in the same room. And I have done it these years because I can trust Jesus." Interestingly enough, when you don't know how to pray, I've heard some people say in the past, "I don't know how to pray." What did he just say here? I speak to him as naturally as to someone in the same room. I have done that for many years. In the case of Dr. Moody, his patience and persistence paid off in the end. The principle applies or appears in the Word of God. Look at Isaiah 40, 31. "Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." Please go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Run and not get tired, and walk and not become weary. How did that principle play out in the case of Joshua? In Exodus 33, look at verse 7. "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp." Verse 11, please. Look at verse 11. "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." Some references indicate that Joshua stayed at the tent to take care of it when Moses went back to the camp. Another reference indicates that Joshua was being positioned by God to take the people of Israel into the promised land. At any rate, Joshua stuck to the task. Preparation involves sticking to the task. The task of every Christian is to become equipped. Look at how Paul put it in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Joshua came to know God over all these experiences that he had seen. He came to know God. He was equipped, prepared. Prepared for what? Well, we can't be dogmatic. But maybe it was for something he might not have seen coming. Please go to Numbers 13. In Numbers, the people of the Exodus are at the doorstep to Canaan. The next step was to cross the Jordan and take possession of the land. Moses already reminded these people that God delivered them from Egypt so that he would give them the land that he swore to his fathers. God reaffirmed the promise through Moses, but God also reminded the people of his promise before they left Sinai. God's promise was Israel's title deed to the land. But it was also a guarantee that God would deal with the pagan nations that inhabited the land. So these people had the word of God. And they also had everything they needed to trust God who made the promise. But before they entered, they approached Moses and they expressed the desire to send men into the land to search out the land and return with a report. Now, that appears in Deuteronomy 1, verses 22, where it says, "Then all of you approached me," this is Moses, "then all of you approached me and said, 'Let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us, and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up, and the cities which we shall enter.'" Moses agreed, and God confirmed it. Look at Numbers 13, starting in verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. So you shall send a man from each of the father's tribes, every one a leader among them.' Moses sent 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes. Among them were Joshua and Caleb. 40 days later, when they returned, they went to Moses and confirmed the fact that the land was a good land. And they also brought back proof. But then something unexpected happened." Now this brings to mind something Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." Recipients of Peter's letter were taken by surprise when they encountered persecution. Now, as we stated earlier, the Bible makes very clear the fact that every Christian is going to encounter some type of adversity. Now, that being the case, why are some taken by surprise? In at least some cases, it's because they're not prepared. That was the case with the people of the Exodus. They saw the power of God in bringing about their deliverance, and they sang a song of praise, praising God for all that God had done for them. But 3 days later, after wandering in the wilderness and finding no water, what did they do? They came to a place called Marah, but the water there was bitter, and they grumbled. So Moses cried out to God. God showed Moses a tree. Moses threw the tree into the water, and the water became sweet. What do we have here? We have another lesson designed to teach these people something about God. Then at the place called Elim, God provided them with 12 springs of water and 70 date palms. A few weeks later, after arriving at the wilderness of Sin, they had no food. They were hungry. Once again, they grumbled. So God provided them with manna. Journeying on from there, they eventually arrived at Rephidim. There was no water. Now, the people had just been presented with three powerful lessons dealing with the power and the provision of God, plus what they saw in the plagues and at the Red Sea. How will they respond? Once again, they grumbled against Moses. What's the point? These people had the Word of God, but they weren't learning from it. When we fail to learn from the lessons God presents us with, we tend to repeat our mistakes. And that can lead to serious consequences eventually. That was the case with the older generation. Upon returning to Moses, 10 of the 12 spies issued a bad report. They agreed that the land flows with milk and honey, but they went on to describe the land as a land that devours its inhabitants. The people of the land were strong, the cities were fortified, and there were giants in the land. But instead of learning from what God had already told them and showed them, they concluded, we're not able to go up against such a people. Compared to them, we're like grasshoppers. How did the people respond? They cried all night long. 2 million people. And an entire congregation grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Now, these people had the same word of God that Joshua had. They saw the same works of God that Joshua saw. What made the difference? The writer of Hebrews tells us the word of God did not profit them. Why not? Well, the answer has to do with how we hear. These individuals were ineffectual hearers. Now, that being the case, they learned nothing from what they heard. On the other hand, in Numbers 14, look at verse 6. Joshua, Numbers 14, 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The word that Joshua had heard enabled them to see God in a completely different light. Joshua saw the power of God at work in bringing the people out of captivity, delivering them from Pharaoh and his army at the Red Sea. He saw the faithfulness of God in keeping his promises. What he saw gave him confidence in God when confronted by future obstacles. That brings us back to the principle of preparation. Joshua was a prepared man. Over the course of his life, God prepared Joshua through the Word of God plus life experiences. And that pretty much characterizes the principle of preparation. Now, as I said earlier, if the rapture doesn't happen in our lifetime, we have a generation of young people who need to be prepared to overcome obstacles. More than likely, they're going to encounter if our nation and the world continues on its present course. Preparation begins by listening purposefully to the Word of God, learning about the character of God, applying that to the circumstances we encounter, and then trusting in God to work all things together for good. As in the case of the people of the Exodus, the circumstances we encounter are often designed to test what we hear. Passing the test brings on two results. First, it strengthens our faith. Second, it prepares us for greater tests. Please go back to Joshua 1. In Joshua 1, Joshua was faced with a greater test. But as is always the case, God had provided him with what he needed to step up to the task. Let's look at the passage again, starting in verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In verse 6, obeying the command, be strong and courageous, is not something Joshua had to conjure up by means of his own resources. It's based on two factors. The first is the word of God. God said, you shall give this people possession of the land. Joshua can choose to be strong and courageous based on the absolute certainty of God's promise. God made a solemn, immutable promise to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses. The promise is a truth Joshua needed to keep upmost in his mind. A truth that overcomes doubt and instills confidence. The second thing he saw was the power of God. Joshua had already seen the power of God in action. Joshua's task was to apply what he knows and is certain of. The promise is a done deal. That was the case in Numbers 14 with the first generation. The promise to possess the land was a foregone conclusion in God's mind. God had given them the land. It was as good as done, but the people didn't take hold of it by faith. Joshua has to take hold of it by faith principle. The key that opens the door to abundant life for Joshua and an abundant life for believers today is possession and practice of the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading books, reading devotionals, but our focus needs to be on the pure milk of God's Word. There's power in the Word. God's Word accomplishes what God desires, but in order to derive power from the Word, you got to use it. You got to receive it, read it, meditate on it, day and night, as the passage says. That means often, on a regular basis, not in a state of casual passivity, but with an attitude of soaking in the Scriptures, intense, regular, personal engagement with the Scriptures, with desire not just to gain information for its own sake, but to be guided, directed, and controlled by what God reveals. Not turning to the right or to the left, but for the purpose of enablement to succeed in the things God desires. That's what preparation entails. As we said earlier, preparation involves more than hearing. That being the case, in verse 7, God gave the command a second time, but then God added something to it. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Hearing only leads to forgetting. It's the doing that counts. Obeying without hesitation leads to prosperity and success. As the passage closes, for a third time, God issued the command, principle. For those who obey them, God's commands are God's enablements. Recall Gabriel's words to Mary, for nothing will be impossible with God. In other words, none of God's words are without power. The very word that God speaks has power, the power of fulfillment if God's people trust and obey it. In order to step out to meet and overcome the challenges that lie ahead, that is the attitude that young people must possess. It applies just as much to that today as it did in Joshua's day. There were giants in the land then. There are giants in the land today. They don't come in the form of literal giants, but giants nonetheless. They create worry, concern, fear about the future. They cause the unprepared to see themselves as grasshoppers before them. They go by different names: Black Lives Matter Incorporated, critical race theorists, progressive Christianity, woke ideologies. They claim there is no absolute truth and morality is what a person wants it to be. Some of their objectives involve annihilating the Jews, murdering our children, reshaping history, destroying a nation. They have no regard for God, the Son of God, or the Word of God. They demand social justice, but they advocate everything that's sinful. When you compare the culture that existed in Joshua's day and the culture that exists today, the conditions are very similar in many respects. Thus the question. How do you prepare young people to stand firm in the midst of such a culture? It brings us back to God's commands issued to Joshua: be strong and courageous. Paul put Timothy in what could have been a very difficult situation when he left Timothy at Ephesus. There were problems at Ephesus. It was Timothy's task to straighten them out. Paul's words to Timothy were, "God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and sound mind." When Jesus sent his disciples out into the world to make disciples of the nations, he told them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Power overcomes fear, but not just any power, the power of God. God's power is available through God's Word and God's Spirit. Joshua had God's Word, and he had God's Spirit, as does every Christian today. So when God commanded Joshua, "Do not tremble or be dismayed," that applies today also. But how does anyone not fear in a world designed to create fear? You open your ears to God's Word. Please go to Deuteronomy 31, and we'll be closing shortly. In quoting Isaiah, remember what Jesus said to the Jewish leaders in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, "You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear." Their ears weren't open. They willfully rejected what Jesus had to say. And that is the case, unfortunately, with at least some Christians today. Not only do they willfully reject the Word of God, they don't take steps to see that their children are being prepared in the Word. They don't see what's going on in the world today. As we stated throughout this session, opening one's ears to the Word of God involves purposefully listening to the Word of God, learning about the character of God, which leads to confidence in God. And confidence in God leads to courage when faced with the giants. When Christians have confidence in God, mountains don't appear to be as high, rivers don't appear to be as wide, and giants don't appear to be as big. It all comes back to our attitude toward the Word of God. By opening one's ears to God's Word, we can live courageously and without fear because God is with us wherever we go. The principle appears in both Testaments. And here is where we're going to close. Look at Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 5. "The Lord will deliver them up before you, and you shall do to them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Then Moses called to Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And Jesus said to his disciples in the Great Commission, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. As we present this information to our children under the filling of the Holy Spirit, the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit will instill these facts into them. And the result will be the ability to be strong and courageous. We'll close out this series next Wednesday by examining the last two areas where preparation is essential. Let's close. Father, thank you for the awesome things that you've presented to us, taught us, put down in Scripture for us to have. Thank you for this awesome blessing you've given us. Thank you for our precious God and Savior Jesus and the privilege to go forward and in the commands you've given, go forward obediently to learn about your character, to become strong, courageous, and confident in you, and courageous in life circumstances. We pray, Father, that you instill these things in us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.